Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mornings with Love and Action with Ken Tuck of Love and Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. And now, here is Ken Tuck.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you're having a good weekend. I hope you're staying cool. Is it hot enough for you? Good grief, it's still in May, and we're around 100 degrees already, but that is typical late spring in South Alabama. It's not even technically summertime yet, but you'd never know it by stepping outside. But hey, it's South Alabama. Summer's just beginning, so we might as well get used to it. But hey, praise God, whether it's hot or cold, we can have joy in our hearts because of Jesus Christ, and no matter the weather, we can still praise our Lord. And for all of you who like going to the beach, Memorial Day weekend, head to the beach, perfect time to be there, or to the lake, wherever you might be. I'm just going to head to the air conditioning and keep cool. This is Memorial Day weekend, and that's not just about going to the beach or the lake and cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. It's a time to reflect and be thankful for those who gave their lives for us, for our freedom here in this country, so we can do things like talk about God's Word openly. We have so many freedoms, and so many people have served this country over the course of history and laid down their lives for us, and we need to remember them this weekend, remember the families of those who have lost loved ones in the various wars and conflicts that the U.S. has been involved in over the years. All of you families out there who have lost loved ones, our prayers are with you. For the past couple of weeks, we have been studying the book of Acts, and we're going to continue that today. Last week, we were in Acts chapter 2, and we saw the promise of the Holy Spirit coming fulfilled as believers were gathered in the upper room and filled with the Spirit of God, and they were speaking in other languages. Peter, the Apostle Peter, preached his first sermon. 3,000 people were saved. We saw that the early church, the first church, was born through Pentecost, through the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the people, and Peter preaching that first sermon. So today we're going to pick up there in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. But before we do, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. You are so good to us. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, salvation that you give us. Lord, we acknowledge you. We lift you up this morning. We praise you. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the true Messiah, one and only Son of God, and that all who believe in you shall not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I pray anyone listening today or just not sure of their eternity, Lord, that they will call out to you and just surrender to your lordship, receive your forgiveness, live for you. You tell us, Jesus, to follow you. So, Lord, may we all do that. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We love you. Father, we just thank you for your abundant blessings. We thank you for your word that we're opening up this morning. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, lead us into all truths. And, Father, may we be doers of your word and not hearers only. We love you, God. We praise you. And it's in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you are not driving and you have your Bible or your Bible app on your phone, I encourage you to open up to Acts chapter 2. And again, we're going to read verses 42 through 47. And this is the fellowship of believers, the first church, and how the first church operated. We get a glimpse of how life was with that early church. We see how disciples were made and how the church grew. So let's go to verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Who are they? Believers. They're the believers. We see in 41 that 3,000 people were added. And so there were a lot of disciples to be made because the disciples remembered that Jesus gave them the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all that he has taught them. And they know that Jesus is with them because he promises that. These believers in Christ, 3,000 plus, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see how the early church, that first church, lived. And what an awesome life that they had there. Now, life wasn't easy, obviously, because persecution was still going on and would actually increase. As we read through the New Testament, we see how persecution increased. And we know under Rome, Christians were brutally killed. But here, we see that the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, the breaking of bread here is talking about, it's not just talking about sitting down and eating a meal together. It's talking about communion, the Lord's Supper, and that they would do that often because Jesus told them to do that. And he tells us to partake in the Lord's Supper to remember that his body was broken for us and that we're in a new covenant now, because of the shedding of his blood. And he's given us a new covenant with him. And we know that he is the only way to the Father. Now, where were they meeting at? They were meeting in houses. And we're going to talk more about that here in a moment. But the foundational content for the believer's spiritual growth and maturity was the Scripture, God's revealed truth, which the apostles received and taught faithfully. We see that the apostles were teaching, and the people were listening, and people were being saved every day, as verse 47 tells us. And I often tell people, God's word is enough. God's word tells us everything we need to know. And as we share his word with others, his word's just going to dig down into their heart. The Holy Spirit's going to work through the word and just start drawing people in. In this early church, we see there weren't any special programs or specially themed sermons. It was just the word. And today, we seem to lose that. Well, we think we have to entertain, but we don't. We just need to give people the truth, the gospel. And really, that's what people are searching for. They're searching for the truth. What is the truth? We can be entertained anywhere, but when it comes to Jesus, we just need to have his word and see what he has to say to us. And as we share the truth with others, the truth is going to set them free. The truth sets us free. And so we just need to get back to sharing the truth, the word of God, and everything that's in it. We're seeing in these verses the difference between the early church and today's church. And we see here people are being saved every single day, right there in Jerusalem, right there where Jesus Christ was killed. Right there where persecution was continuing, but people were still coming to the Lord despite all of the persecution going on. And why would people do that? Because they want the truth. And the truth sets them free. And they see that Jesus really is the Messiah. They see that there really is a heaven and a hell. And if we choose Jesus, we'll be with him forever in heaven. And if we deny him, then hell, eternal torment, eternal separation from God is eternity. And so people are coming to him and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ despite all the persecution that goes on. And I think about that overseas where people in East Africa here recently have been, Christians have been killed for their faith. They refuse to deny Christ. They're being killed. I was reading an article just earlier today of a pastor in Iran, and a judge asked him to denounce his faith, and he quickly refused to do it. So people around the world are still coming to Christ, even though their lives are on the line. And why is that? Because They understand that Jesus is worth it. Jesus thought we were worth it when he allowed himself to be arrested and beaten and killed on that cross because he wanted to give us an opportunity to be with him forever. And when we realize that Jesus is everything, then it doesn't matter what comes against us. We know we have Jesus. We know we have eternal life. We understand that this is temporary. This life is temporary. Even if we live to be 150 years old, that's not even a drop in the bucket in eternity. So we need to keep the eternal mindset and understand that Jesus is worth it all. So these early believers, they listened to the teaching of the apostles, and they fellowshiped together, breaking bread together by partaking in the Lord's Supper together. And they did eat together. They prayed together. It was really a community of believers, and they took care of one another, as we see. In verse 43, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So obviously God was working through the apostles and doing many miracle signs and wonders. And, you know, God is still doing that today. There are still miracles that are taking place all around us. We just need to stop and look at God and focus on him and trust him. And we start seeing things happening. And I've seen people healed. I've seen people healed from being paralyzed and not being able to walk. My good friend Rick Denny, he was in a wheelchair. They said he'd never walk again. Well, God healed him, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked. Never in that wheelchair again. I've seen cancer healed, just all kind of different miracles. We just need to trust God for those. And overseas, you see that a lot as well. Here in America, we often have too much, and we think, okay, I can take care of that, when really we need to trust God, because he's going to take care of it the right way. And God gives us this revelation of his word that if we listen to the teaching of his word, and of course we need to be studying ourselves as well, then we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders take place. And that's what was happening in this early church. Then in verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. That's interesting, because first thing people would think about today is, well, that must be socialism or communism, but that wasn't the case at all. The Christians didn't live in a commune or anything of that matter, but they did. What they did do is they did not hold their possessions as the greatest thing to them. They actually held their possessions lightly, so therefore they were ready to use them in any moment to help people, to help one another. These believers, they fellowshiped together, they lived life together, and if one had a need, they would take care of it. Now, it's not a case where, oh, somebody's taking advantage of it. No, these were believers. These were people who made up the church, and they loved the Lord, and they sought after the Lord together. And then when a need arose, they took care of it. Man, that is something that needs to take place so badly today in today's church, is that we need to help one another. And there are many, many good folks out there, many good Christian folks who do that. But man, if the Church of God here in the United States would just really come together and grasp this, the concept of what the early believers did and how they lived, we wouldn't have people in our fellowship that are in need. One thing that's going against us, and this is, sometimes people don't like to hear it, but it's true, is the American dream, where I work hard and to earn what I get and it's mine, and I'm going to keep it and I'm going to do whatever I want to do for me. That's not scriptural. It's awesome when we're able to make good money. We make a good living. That's a wonderful thing if you're in that situation. But God gives us finances. He gives us things to not only meet our needs, but he wants to work through us to meet needs of others as well. So this early church, they had that going on. They were helping one another, If somebody was in need, they helped them out. We see that continuing in verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So again, needs were being taken care of within the body of Christ, by the body of Christ. Didn't have to look outside to the government or anything like that. It was the body of Christ taking care of one another. And that's phenomenal, and that's what was taking place. Luke is painting a beautiful picture here of community life of the church. The new believers devoted themselves to four practices: apostolic teaching, fellowship or sharing, observing the Lord's Supper, and prayer. And they did all of that together. The community of believers also experienced a sense of awe at what God was doing. They were sharing their possessions with those who were in need. They spent time together in corporate worship, and they welcomed new believers, new converts. If we go back to Acts chapter 1, we see that they're gathered, the believers are gathered in the upper room, and that is really a foreshadowing to the significant role that house churches would play in the life and mission of the early church. When you look at the church then and the church now, you see a lot of differences. One is the house church compared to large church buildings that we see today. Actually, the larger churches did not come into existence until about the 4th century when Constantine started building these large houses of worship. And then it took off from there to where we have what's called mega churches now. So we have house church, small gatherings, and today we have large churches, large gatherings. And is one better than the other? Well, everybody has an opinion on that matter. The larger group of believers were broken into smaller groups so they could teach, mentor, make disciples of each other. They did meet together in the temple courts. They regularly met in homes for teaching, prayer, worshiping, caregiving, meals, the Lord's Supper. So the church was birthed, but also we see the birth of the house church. Through the house churches, again, we read that the early believers, their church experience included miracles, salvation, unity. And based on how they shared things in common, Luke really illustrates a beautiful picture here again, and being very specific, common participations modeled by the early church, it seems best to define it as they practice life together, being led by the Spirit, a Spirit-led life together. Based on the testimony of the early church, this life really promoted ethnic and social equality. People were looked at, the body of Christ, they looked at each other as being equal. And that really brought this family together. And that's what we are. We're the family of God. We're friends, but more importantly, we're the family of God. And when we're helping one another and nobody's better than the other, the family is really stronger that way. And this was a life in which people found it easier to overcome hardships together. It's a life of faith, and it's really the best possible life. It's life in the Spirit. I pray that all of us who are here today living for Jesus will continue to seek and embrace this kind of life, this kind of experience. There are churches who have a lot of small groups, and that's kind of along the teaching here, because it's smaller groups of people living life together. That's how small groups are supposed to work. And within those small groups, are you helping one another? Or, if somebody's in need, are you helping them meet that need? Are you growing together in Christ? And then you come back together in the large church building for corporate worship. And I'm one, I really believe in corporate worship. I think it's awesome when we get together and worship God together. But we also need to be living life with a group of people, other Christians who we can live this life with. with. Because when you attend church, whether you attend church with 50 people, 100 people, or 2,000 people, it's hard to live life closely with all of those people. But when you have a smaller group, like these house churches that we're reading about, then you can live life together. The house churches back then, most people think it was Christians who were more wealthy who would open up their house because they had a larger house that could accommodate more people, and they were able to do that. But living life together, there's just something about that, and it's a wonderful thing to experience. Have you ever been to a church conference, either at your home church or you're off somewhere at a conference, and you're there with a group of people every day? It may be 3 days or it may be a week, and you really feel that close knit, being knitted together, but being bonded together, your hearts are, and it just feels good. It feels right. And then when it's over with, the conference is over with, you're missing the people. You're missing breaking bread together. You're missing sharing the word together and worshiping together. And these early believers, they experienced that daily. And through that daily experience, they were able to proclaim the gospel everywhere they went. And that's something that we have to do ourselves. Today, in a lot of churches, the way it's set up is just invite people to church and let the pastor share the gospel with them and hope they get saved. And inviting people to church is a very good thing. I do it, and I encourage you to do it. But don't leave it for the pastor to share the gospel with people. Every person we come in contact with, it's an opportunity to share the gospel. Again, the Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples. It doesn't tell us to go and invite people to church. Jesus expects us to go ourselves and lead people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit who is within us gives us the power, as we read in Acts 1:8 last week, to do this, to be his witnesses. So are we doing that? And in that early church, the fellowship of believers, the teaching was really for believers. And outside of their house church, they were telling others. We see people were being added daily, so they're telling others. And they're leading others to the Lord. And that's when they say, hey, let's live this life together. Let us teach you what Jesus has taught us. And therefore, the Great Commission is being fulfilled. Verse 46, we see that day by day they were attending temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received food with glad and generous hearts. These were some happy people. Despite the persecution going on, they had joy in their heart. So they were attending temple together and daily, and they ate together. So they're hanging out together. They're living life together. They always shared with one another. And this church, this Jerusalem church, was so joyful because of one thing. They had a single focus, and that single focus was Jesus Christ. When we focus on Jesus, let's don't worry about programs or anything else. Let's focus on Jesus. And that's where our joy, that's where our happiness comes from, is Jesus Christ. And when we're doing it together, we are going to be a happy people. And we're going to live this life together, sharing the word with one another, going out and telling others who don't know Jesus about Jesus, and making disciples. The Apostle Paul had the same mindset. He had the same way of living life. And we see that in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He is focusing on the Lord, and he is focusing on the call that God has put on his life by focusing on Jesus. Paul had that mindset. Of course, he came out of this early church when he was persecuting the church, and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and his life was forever changed by the resurrected Savior. And he focused on Jesus the rest of his life. And that's what we have to do. We see in verse 47 that these new believers, these early believers, were praising God, and they were having favor with all people. Now, that favor wouldn't last, because we know history, and we read later in the New Testament how persecution took place and how the Christians were martyred for their belief in Jesus. But at this moment, they had favor with all people. But Jesus tells us that it's not going to be that way, that people are going to hate us because they hated him, and if they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us. He tells us that he's sending us out like sheep among wolves, and so he doesn't promise us that we're going to have this favor with all people all the time. But at this moment, they did, so praise God for that favor. Then it said, the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. And salvation, that's God's sovereign work. Only Jesus can save. And God wants to work through us, his creation, his redeemed creation, to tell others about him, about the precious gift of his son, Jesus Christ, who offers forgiveness, who offers salvation. And when we just focus on Jesus, we realize how awesome he truly is, and we just want to share him with others. So this early church, and as you read throughout the New Testament, you get more and more glimpses of how the church grew, how disciples were made. But we see in this five or six verses here how the church, you know, a quick glimpse of how the church grew and how they lived, and they lived life together. And so that's something I just want to encourage all believers out there. Don't go at it alone. That's not how God set this up. He set it up for us to worship together, to serve together. And if you're not comfortable in a church setting, would you be comfortable in someone's home doing a Bible study at home? I think that's an interesting question to ask people, because we know there's a lot of people who don't attend church, and a number of you listening to today's broadcast are among those. So would you be interested in a home church? There's, I think, more people really wanting to experience that because, well, we won't get into modern church history. We don't have time for that, but a lot of things have happened over the years, and people have turned away from church. But I'm curious to know if people would be interested in home churches. But again, there are houses of worship around here and throughout the U.S. where they do have small groups. And if you're attending a church that has small groups, really encourage you to get involved with that. Because again, you'll be with a small group of people, and you can experience this living life together for Jesus. So I really encourage you to join up together, find some believers you can pray with, you can study with, and start living this life together for the glory of God. We are out of time, but I just want to thank you once again for joining us, and I pray you have a great weekend. Stay cool out there. Be safe if you're out there traveling, and I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to Sunday Mornings with Love in Action with Ken Tuck from Love in Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. To find out more about Love in Action Ministries, go to their website, loveinactionministries.com, or on Facebook.